Mark chapter 11. Remember, my emphasis, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Mark chapter, my dear, 11. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, 13 and 14. And on the morrow, when they were called from Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus Christ was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereof. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. It is added there, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. All preachers of faith, all they pick from that is faith. 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 Thank God. We can learn so many things from any verse. You know, but there is always the core revelation behind every statement. Amen. Here is a fig tree. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, was hungry. What is the food of God? What does God eat? It's your worship. It's your worship. And your worship brings God down. It is not just the worship he eats. What makes him glad is to see the fruit that you produce. Worship is that green tree. The greenness of the leaves connotes worship. And so, when you worship like that, then it will attract God to come. But when he comes, there is something he's looking for. Fruit. Church, we eat fruit. Do we eat fruits? When you see a mango tree, it is the leaves that tell you that it's a mango tree. Is it because of the leaf you are going there? What are you going there for? Is the fruit you are looking for? When you worship him, you bring him down. When he comes down, there is something he's looking for to eat. It is the fruit. It's the fruit. And notice, he cursed that tree. He didn't find any tree there. Why? He said because the time for fruit was not yet. You have not received the Holy Ghost. Why are you acting like one who has received the Holy Ghost? I'm talking to somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have not received. There was a preacher that I listened to some years back. Harold Hildebrand from Canada. He visited one intermediate church so many years ago, and I was there. And he said something, that he's a farmer and that he farms wheat. And he said, whenever you harvest wheat, the wheat that is ripe is normally brownish. The one that is not yet ripe is green in color. He said, if you by mistake gather any little one of that green together with that plenty harvest of brown, you gather them and put them together in the same warehouse. He said, when you are passing by, you will be hearing noise. Fight is going on. Fight. He said, the farmer will immediately know, ha! There is green inside here. So what he will do is to bring out everything and select the green. One, if you leave the green there, it will rot. When it gets rotten, it will infect all the good ones around. I listened to that preacher that day, and I learned something. That is why Apostle Paul said, cast that fornicator out. He said, a little leaven leavenate the whole lump. If you patch a fornicator in the church, fornication spirit will spread. If you accommodate a gossip, everybody will begin to gossip. Evil communication corrupts good manner. So he said, what the farmer will do is, it is still his wheat, oh, but it is not yet ripened. So he is still interested in it. It is not bad, oh. It's just that his own maturity is a bit slow. But it's a seed. And the farmer is not going to throw it away. But he does a separation process. He separates it and takes the green to the sun. Dry them alone in the sun. To expose it to the sun to ripen it. When they are ripened, then you will take it back and join the matured ones. And there will be peace. Hey. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Jesus Christ went and saw leaves. And he went in happily, he will find fruit there to eat. And when he came there, what did he see? He saw a form of godliness. The power that makes that green leaf to be green is supposed to be a life that will also produce the fruit. Why do you have only religion and no fruit following it? What did he do? He cursed it. That demonstrates how God hates hypocrisy. It was a message he was sending out there. Luke chapter 13. He made it clearer here again. Of course, we know that that is the Jews. The story there is the Jews. Now, Luke chapter 13. Verse 6, 8. 6, 7, 8, and 9. Are we there? Luke chapter 13. He spoke also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Get the impact of that verse 6 again. A certain man, and that man is Christ himself. He had a fig tree that is supposed to be Israel, and that is supposed to be also his church. There is a natural Israel, there is a spiritual Israel. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years, because Jesus Christ ministered for about 3.5 years. Behold, these 3 years, I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why covered it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall think about it and dung it. I may bear fruit well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. And you know from that time, about 37 years after, till 1870, he waited for 37 years for them to have a change of heart and bring forth fruit. Until 1870, he cut them off. And if he did that to the spiritual Israel, he will do it also to the natural Israel. And how will he do it to us? Everything about us is spiritual. Israel, everything is natural. Our own is spiritual. When he said that they should go back to their first love, that they are neither cold nor hot, but he willed that they should be either cold or hot. And because you are none of it, what did he say he will do? He will spew you out of his mouth. People don't understand what it means to spew you out of your mouth. What he's saying is that he will have no relationship with you again. You will not receive revelation again. You don't put your eyes to see anything that pertains to salvation again. You are on your own. And that is why they are in the estate that they are in. No matter what you do to open their eyes to see the Bible, they can never see it. God gave them opportunity to see it. They refused, and he spewed them out of his mouth. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. It desires fruit. Praise the Lord. John the Baptist, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Are we there? Verse 7. Reading up to verse 10. This is John the Baptist now. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord, make his path straight. That's what he was doing. But when he, John the Baptist, verse 7, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers! These were religious people, oh. Religious people, oh. You say, why are we preaching like this? There is nobody that go to the school of theology that can speak the way John the Baptist spoke. Even Apostle Paul was selecting his language because he went to the theology school of Gamaliel. So he knows how to speak. But John the Baptist came from the wilderness. So he was close to snakes. He knows how to live in the bush. So he could understand how human beings behave from the way snakes behave while he was in the wilderness. So when he looked at them, he saw evil people. Inside of them, poison. Murderous people, murderous hearts. Now you don't come now. You are looking for God. That's why you hear that something new has coming up. You know you are evil people. You are running to God yourself. People are coming. You too, you are coming. Happy? All generation of vipers. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now the emphasis is verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet suitable for repentance. Bring forth therefore fruits that will show that you have repented. Don't just run to God and have a form of godliness. Let there be evidence that you have met with that God by the life that you live. Verse 9. And think not to say within yourself, we are Abraham, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So if you decide to change, you are not doing God any favor. Never you come to God and think that God cannot do without you. Don't think because God is using you in this church, Pastor Moses, then you make Nyanga. Hey, God will put Moses away and raise another better one. He's no respecter of persons. When Moses did what he did, didn't the children of Israel enter the promised land? Didn't they enter? Moses misbehaved before the children got to the promised land. Maybe everybody would have thought, without Moses, nobody can lead them. When Moses died, God raised a better person than Moses. After all, the person he raised was no longer a stammerer. Moses was a stammerer. He got a better person and he got a warrior. Better than Moses. He raised up Joshua. So who are you to think that you are something? God can raise stones. He did it in this church before. God can raise stones. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 10. He said, and now, church, shout now. Say it again. Brother, send me, shout now. He said, and now also, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, everyone which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast where? Where? It's not the fire in your kitchen, oh. Hellfire, lake of fire, condemnation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Repentance is what he's looking for. To deny the power is to refuse the power of God to walk in you and for you. That is it, to deny that power. Is to refuse the power of God to walk in you and for you. Praise the Lord. Because he said, Titus chapter 1 verse 16. He said they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. You profess Christianity, but the life that you live, you deny him. How do they deny him? He said, in works. In works. Then he added, being abominable. I'm quoting Titus chapter 1 verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him. How did they deny him? By being abominable, and by being disobedient, and unto every good work they are reprobates. That is how they deny him. They deny him, yet they have a form of godliness. They profess him. We are Christians. We are this. But every abomination that is in this Bible, they are involved. There are churches today, hallelujah, that which God says is abomination, they are promoting. You are denying him. Homosexuals are ordained as ministers. Homosexuals are encouraged in the church. In works, disobedient. Disobedient to who? Not to the pastor, but to his word. And let nobody pass the buck to any pastor. Everyone in this age has access to the Bible. It's our book of instruction. When you do anything contrary to what this Bible says, you are disobedient. You are disobedient. There are people that obey the pastor more than the Bible. Therefore, whatever the Bible says, they will still watch. Okay, pastor, concerning this scripture, what do you say? If the pastor can explain it away to them, they are satisfied. And he, God himself, the scripture said it, that they teach for commandments, the doctrines of men. Yes, they hold on to the doctrines of man rather than the doctrines that God himself has given us. You need to know what this King James Bible. I saw a documentary of how the King James Version was produced. How many people died to frustrate. Satan made sure that this Bible was not translated to English. It was to remain in Latin. And Latin is the language of the Vatican. It was supposed to be the holy language. And remember that it is only the priests that were to learn it. So it is what they say they read, they tell you the interpretation, you will believe. Somebody shout, Satan is a liar. When God began to use people like Wycliffe, and then came up, see what they went through, see what they went through. Blood was shed. People suffered to get this Bible interpreted in a language that everybody will read and understand. When they couldn't stop it now in this age, they are now going into new international version, new King James version, new what do you call it? A reverse standard version, modern version, all this version, and you think that they are doing it to make it easier for you. Yay! We are not unaware of the device of the enemy. Mio, I hold on to King James version. You want modern English, Abby? Go ahead. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Die, thou. Yeah, all those ones, they are not ordinary English. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You deny that power in being abominable. You know what is abomination. Abomination is something that is not acceptable by the norms. Even the society does not accept it. It's abomination. Even what the society hates, how much more God? In the village, can you sleep with another man's wife? You will die. So it's abomination to commit adultery. But people are holding this Bible and committing adultery, yet they have a form of godliness. If you have not allowed that Bible to transform you, you have denied the power of conversion. Disobedient. Unto every good work, reprobate. What does it mean? Anything that is acceptable by the general norms, by the society, you will do contrary to look deviant. You are a reprobate. You are a reprobate. Why do you think a man will go and wear earring? He knows that men should not wear earring. He knows. That's why he's wearing it. It's a reprobate mind. And then you're looking at him when you're talking. He knows that what he's doing, he's doing something odd. And there is a reaction going on as he's wearing it. He said, if you like, look, you're a reprobate. You're a reprobate. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When you see a man go and stand and say they should put mark on his skin, tattoo. Anytime you put up any lifestyle that brings you out as an odd person from the norms of the society, and more particularly the Christian expectation, you are reprobate. You have a reprobate mind, yet you have a form of godliness. You go to church, you sing gospel song, you're a worker in the church, and yet see your hair cut, brother. See your hair cut. You are reprobate. Very, very reprobate. This reprobate, their own, is not secret. Oh. Secret sin is different. Oh. Reprobate is, they put the signboard on their chest. Whether you like it or not, this is how I want to live my life. And he's speaking in tongues. Reprobates, deviants, just deviants. Yet, the one that God is angry about is that, yet you have a form of godliness. What you are actually saying is that this is who I am. God, leave me the way I am. You went to the cross, the blood of Jesus, I'm going to shout them, but the way I dress, leave me as I am. Look, let me tell you, I'm coming home. In this church, everyone that comes to this church knows that here, we don't accept women painting their nails. Because if you paint your nail, it's not covered. It's not done secretly now. If you paint your face, it is shown now. Okay? So, and yet, you know that we have preached that Christian women should not dress like that. And then you paint your face. And then, not that even shame they catch you, you sit at the back, finish, you run, you go. You will sit in front, and after that, you are lining up to see prophet, to see pastor, with your painted nail and painted. Pastor said, bring your finger to be anointed. You are bringing painted face, painted finger, for to be anointed to go and marry. You are reprobates. Because you don't see anything wrong about what you are doing. Although you know here it's not accepted, but you want to look different and you are not hiding it. That is a reprobate mind. Ha! God is reserving somewhere else for you. Hey, praise the Lord. But there are churches that say you can come like that. They It's them God is referring to. There are such churches. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power that changes a sinner to a saint. They tell you that there is no, you should not appear different from the world. When the Bible says that the love of this world is enmity with God, we are in this world, but not of this world. When the same Bible, by the Spirit of God, warns us how we should comport ourselves in the midst of this wicked and adulterous generation. And you here have a serpent that went to Eve and said, did God say you should not do this? No. If you eat it, you will not die. If you eat it, you will not die. You will not surely die. You will not surely die. You will die, but not surely. You will not surely die. He didn't say you will not die. No. Because Satan knows you will die. I see today, there are preachers that say it doesn't matter how you come to God, it doesn't matter. That is what is attracting crowd to churches. They have two groups of people in the church. Classic and... what's the other one? They have a form of godliness. When they deny the power thereof. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In works they deny. What is the works? Galatians chapter 9, chapter 5, verse 19 to verse 21. Galatians chapter 5. In works they deny him. They deny Christ. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. If you are guilty of this, you are denying the power thereof of godliness. This is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. It's a mystery of godliness. He came as Emmanuel to show us the way. We learn the way to the Father through him. Our destiny, according to Romans chapter 8 verse 29, is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Serene and holy. That is how he is. Obedient, lowly. On earth I long to be like him. By faith forgiven and heir of heaven. On earth I long to be like him. To be like him. You don't want to sing it. You want to be like your pastor. You bump your head like your pastor is bumping his head.
Just to be like him. Say your truth.
Your true life's joy.
From air to glory.
From air to glory.
Just to be like him, I'm true.
Verse 19, Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. If you are guilty, go and kill that thing in you. Adultery. A married man, a married woman. Going to defy yourselves. Fornication. A drinker like water. I marry you. You marry me. Oh yeah, now let's begin to live like husband and wife. After I promise I'll marry you now. And I want to see whether you may perform. Because me, if you don't feel perform, I don't feel to. And sister is telling you, brother, since I go out with you now 2 years, you don't even make small attempts. You sure say, you know they're important? Me important? Let me show you that I am not important. It's happening in the church. In the church. Pastor, you don't understand. My papa not there, my mama not there, I'm an orphan. Not only this man, they take care of me. If I don't give away thing, they fine. Pastor, you get house owner go give me. So even God understand now. Fornication. That's the problem. Ask your neighbor, you're a fornicator. Brother, answer him. If you're a fornicator, shame on you. Shame on you. You are those that you are, you know, deferring our progress here. Because when you sit down here, and the corporate anointing, God wants to bless us. When the angel come meet you like this, you go carry the blessing, go back. And you go see person who sit down next to you, things say, not together on the door. Because as you sit down, the spirit of fornication sits between the two of you. So they don't know whether they're for that one or not for you. Ask your neighbor, are you a fornicator? I'm telling you, in this age, if these two things, just those two things, if you can conquer fornication, sexual sin, anything associated with sexual sin, abominations that come from sex, and the love of money, the things people do to get money, if you can conquer it, I'm telling you that 99% of your problems in your Christian faith are solved. I'm telling you. And I'm speaking as a man. I didn't come from heaven. I am a sinner, a partaker of the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I am not saying it. I am not a hypocrite. What I have not experienced, I will not teach you. If I am not converted in an area, I will not speak about it. Because it will make me a hypocrite. I am telling you that I have conquered it. You too, you can conquer it. And if you refuse to conquer it, God will use me to judge you because I am a human being like you. Praise the Lord. So the thing there is, I'm saying this to challenge you, brother. Challenge you, brother. And sister, I know sisters in this church that made a vow that they will not sleep with any man until the day they get married. And I am aware that they live through to it. Pastor, how did you know? Did you test? I didn't test, but I know how to know. There are. Praise the Lord. There are sisters. Praise the Lord. That have made that vow. And you are seeing it. Because a sister that makes a vow to live a chaste life is not only in her virginity, it is in every aspect of her Christian life. You will see them and see that this sister is converted. On the basis of this testimony I see concerning you, I believe that one where I know they see. It's true. You stand here, you will abuse men. They talk anyhow. They say, Pastor, as you see me, so I'm a virgin. Nah, lie. You're not a virgin. Because you know there's no way I can know. Works of the flesh, and yet you are carrying Bible, and the Bible says, "Oh, let's read on." Verse 19 again. It's a fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Verse 20, idolatry. It's all in the church. Oh, this is what I'm calling witchcraft. Which is the church? They are in the church. Witchcraft. Hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Verse 21. Envy, they are in the church of Jesus Christ. Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Drunkards are in the church. They branch beer parlor. When they leave here now, they will branch beer parlor. in your fridge, you have wine with alcoholic content. There was a rich man that was in this church. He's no more in Lagos even. So I went to dedicate his house. He built a house. Beautiful house. Somewhere in Lagos. He brought wine. And immediately anywhere you invite me, you bring a bottle of wine. I will take and read it first to see the alcoholic content. Because they write it there. I saw 7% alcoholic content. I said, ah, brother, there's alcohol here. I cannot drink it. He said, ah, that's. That's not that. I said, thank you very much. Can you bring the one that is zero alcohol? He brought it. Then, the second time I went again, he brought the same thing again. Then when I refused, and then I was a little bit aggressive to him. He trust my mouth. Amen. And then he now opened up. He said he was trying me. He said, but it's in that same your church. So minister, he mentioned their names. That came to visit. When they come, anytime they come, now together then they check the thing. Serpent seeds in the church. I am talking one thing. They are doing another thing. Yet attached to me. Inside church. A form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. Verse 24. Praise the Lord. Verse 24. This is it. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If all the affections and the lusts, drunkenness, the lusts of the flesh, adultery, fornication, all the anger, the revelings, and the lasciviousness, and the uncleanness, and all works of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, when you are of Christ, you are supposed to be crucified with all those affections thereof. That, and you achieve that by the working of the power that worketh in you. If you don't allow that power you have received the Holy Ghost, and don't allow it to deal with this aspect of your life, you only have a form of godliness and you deny that power.